You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings, and this morning we want to help you prepare. Now, parents, you have a big job. If you have teens or kids that are preteens, Ted.
Yes, it's me.
But headed to college at some point in time, is there something that we can be doing now? Well, this is going to give you some wonderful practical tips, and we'd like to welcome to Faith Radio Mornings Alex Chediak, and he has a great book called Preparing Your Teens for College. It's about faith, friends, finances, and much more. Thank you, Alex, so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Paulette.
So I see on the back cover of the book, you cite that 45% of those who start off at a four-year college will not complete their degree. 45%, that's staggering.
Yeah, the figure you quote, 45% don't graduate a four-year college in 6 years. That's about as much data as we have. We kind of track them for about 6 years. And yeah, right now it's about 55% that graduate, 45% that don't. Yeah, it's a staggering figure, and mainly it's due to either financial situations or academic problems. Those are the two main reasons why students get lost somewhere along the way.
And there are some things we can be doing as parents even now if our kids are maybe just even entering high school to prepare. We'll get into some of those things. What would you say your overall big picture elevator speech advice is for parents that are dealing with this, kids that are getting ready for college?
The main message I would communicate is that preparing your teens for college does not begin when they're 17 years old and they're seniors in high school. It really has to begin earlier, 13, 14, starting to develop in their life the character and maturity that will help them be successful, a work ethic, an ability to put off gratification and to work when they need to work, to keep recreation in its place as good and necessary but not dominating over their need to get their work done. So helping them to internalize a sense of responsibility for their own academic life and developing the habits that will help them be successful when they go to college. And they really are not monitored nearly as much as they are in high school. So really helping them internalize that self-regulation, self-motivation to sit down and do the work necessary to be successful.
And I think it's difficult nowadays, too, because you've got so much going on with kids and, you know, you're talking about in the book, the short attention spans and just the superficial interest when we look at maybe all the YouTube stuff that everybody is sending to each other. Social media, I think, is just a huge proponent in feeding into these short attention spans, too. And even the self-gratification me thing, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I see students' attention spans on the order of a few minutes at most, and part of the problem is because their attention spans are short, their ability to concentrate on a homework problem or writing a paper is very short. So they'll often throw their hands up in the air and say, "I can't do it," within a matter of minutes, whereas previous generations, I think, had more of a discipline to say, I'm going to keep trying it for longer. And sometimes progress doesn't happen in 45 seconds. So it takes longer. You have to work through the pain. It's sort of like we have the phrase, no pain, no gain in athletics, but somehow we don't think it relates to academics. It relates there as well. Learning sometimes is painful. It does require effort. It does require discipline. It does require stillness and concentration and being able to block things out. Your brain can't handle multiple things being bombarded at the same time. It actually makes you less able to learn.
And I don't know if you have exposure to this too, but I am totally amazed as I'm looking at the increase of Adderall and different drugs like that too. Because of kids having these short attention spans, they're turning to Adderall and then they're buying it from their friends and they're buying it online. And I'm hearing this a lot. Do you see that at your level too?
Yeah, you know, I do see that the interest use in stimulations of various kinds, whether it's Adderall or whether it's the five-hour energy type of things. I think students are not sleeping enough at night as well, and so they're relying on alternative means to stay awake during the day or trying to heighten their concentration somehow with some kind of substance of that sort. And so, yeah, it is concerning that what we used to call the regular means or the normal ability of a student to read a book or write a paper, now a lot of students feel they can't concentrate enough unless they have some substance. So, yeah, that is a very big problem, I think.
I just seriously just a few moments ago was reading about a study where it says that teenagers need 9.5 hours of sleep, and that only, I think it was less than like 10% or something are getting that. So you can see why they need the stimulation. I just, again, for the parents and those that are listening, just so they know that 9.5 hours of sleep at night is a considerable amount of time, and these kids aren't getting it. So this is another factor, definitely.
Yeah, we're talking with Alex Achediak here on Faith Radio Mornings. He's an author and speaker, also professor of engineering and physics at California Baptist University, author of the book Preparing Your Teens for College, Faith, Friends, Finances, and Much More. You know, the word finances there makes me think that some people might argue, Alex, that college, you know, it's way expensive these days, and is it even really worth it? I mean, that's a struggle that a lot of parents are even wondering about for their children. What do you say to that?
First of all, I'd say it depends on whether you graduate. If you go to college, you do need to graduate. If you don't, you'll end up having spent money but not having some kind of certification to differentiate you in the job market. That's a problem. The job market now for high school graduates is very, very bad. Unemployment's about twice as high. Salaries are much lower than if you have an associate's degree or a bachelor's degree or some kind of technical certification of some sort. So I think every high school student does need to think about doing something after they graduate, whether it's a trade school, an associate's program, or a four-year college, one of those as a route, or maybe it's the military, and the military trains them eventually and then pays for their college. Mm-hmm. But just going out into the job market 18 years old without skills and a certificate of some sort, some kind of certification, is going to be a problem. So I do think you have to graduate if you go to college, because if you don't, you don't get the benefits of having that degree. So and it depends on what you study. Is college worth it? Some degrees are paying off more than others financially. But all degrees, if you work hard and develop intellectual skills, the ability to concentrate, the ability to solve problems, the ability to read and analyze, the ability to distinguish between opinion and fact, the ability to communicate clearly, if you work hard in college, you will probably do better than if you didn't go to college. If you graduate and work hard, you will become a more intellectually capable person, the kind of person that will be hireable and promotable. So I do think college is generally worth it if you graduate, if you have the intellectual abilities to get there and graduate and work hard and become a stronger person while you're there. I think generally it will pay off, and it especially pays off in certain majors right now: technology, healthcare, business, finance. Those majors are paying the most in terms of immediate return on investment.
Yes, again, we're talking with Alex Achediak here. He's author of the book Preparing Your Teens for College, Faith, Friends, Finances, and Much More. And after a quick break, we'll dive into the faith aspect of this too and what we can be doing now at home to prepare our kids to go off to college and still stay grounded in their Christian faith. More with Alex Achediak coming up in a moment.
You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings, and this morning we're in the middle of a conversation with Alex Achediak, and his book is called Preparing Your Teens for College. And Alex, let's talk about, this is kind of a sequel, if you will, I guess, for your first book called Thriving at College. What kind of things were parents asking you, or what kind of questions did they have that prompted this book? Because it really is here for mom and dad.
Exactly, Paulette. What I found after writing Thriving at College was that on radio programs, when I spoke in conferences and such, parents were really hungry for what they could do in the high school years when the kids were 12 years old and up. What can they do to get their junior high and high school students ready so that when they went to college, they were successful? And that's really why I wrote this book. It's kind of, it comes before Thriving at College. It comes for the parent to read in the years leading up to their child going to college. What I found was that parents want to know, how can I help my kids retain the Christian faith when they go to college? How can I help them have the habits and the character and the skill set to persevere in college? How can I help them not get into a financial problem when they're in college, whether it's from consumer spending or student loans? The other question I found was, how can I help my kids not get into the wrong crowd, the party lifestyle, mm-hmm. and all that goes with that system? Those kinds of things. How can I protect my child and train them to think well and to make good decisions, to be discerning about opportunities that await them in college?
So do you think it's important then for parents before the son or daughter goes off to college to maybe have that there are consequences to your actions conversation, saying, you know, if you go off to college and do this, then this could happen or this will happen? Is that an effective way to deal with it?
Yeah, you know, I think in the high school years, you want to start moving into a place where you're influencing them and shepherding them and training them instead of controlling them as much, so giving them greater measures of freedom, but requiring more in the way of responsibility and letting them reap natural consequences when they make mistakes, because small mistakes made in the household can be very informative and very much educationally valuable. Small mistakes made in the house where mom and dad are there to help them process the mistakes can actually protect them and prevent them from making larger mistakes when they leave the house. So a little more letting go in the high school years with shepherding, with coaching, with training, with helping them assess cause and effect can actually prevent them from going off the deep end, as it were, when they get to college.
Sure.
Well, and I appreciate the book, too, because you have so many practical tips and links and resources here, even to help in studying and things like that. This is quite the research project in and of itself, too. Did this take a while to compile all of this, or did you have a lot of other people just kind of saying, oh, this was helpful to us?
No, I spent a lot of time researching this. It was about an 18-month process of really working on researching, reading books, and analyzing what was out there, and then putting it into a book that parents could read and understand without having to be scholars. So I read probably 50, 60 books on all the different topics that are covered in preparing your teens for college.
Well, one of them that I thought was interesting was all the online courses. You know, we were just talking about how expensive college can be, and there are so many online universities, too. And so the question is, you know, don't these dramatically lower tuition and maybe even eliminate the need for colleges? But I think it's a fairly good, detailed answer to that, too. And I think that this is really well appreciated, I would think, from everybody that's just looking at this whole massive thought of going to college and everything that involves. Can you kind of speak to that for just a second as far as online, what things you found out?
Yeah, so online schools are less expensive. They do require more intentionality on the part of the student, more work ethic, more discipline. And it's actually harder to learn, I think, in online environments. And I think students who are borderline will probably prefer to have face-to-face in terms of their chances of learning well will increase. If you do an online program, you need to make sure you have access to the faculty, whether it's telephone calls or email or Skype sessions or whatnot. There needs to be access to the faculty, or you need to be able to learn on your own. You know, some at the high end of the academic spectrum, high end of the scale, so to speak, people who are self-taught can do fine. If it's something like computers or math, a lot of those things can be learned online more readily than science or literature or history. So I think it depends on the subject as well as the learner, how they learn their style.
Again, we're talking with Alex Chediak here on Faith Radio Mornings, author of Preparing Your Teens for College. Alex, one more question for you, and that is, for the student that's not quite sure what they want to do, and they're almost ready to graduate here, maybe this spring even, and they want to go off to college, they're planning to, but they just don't know what to focus in on, what's your advice for them?
Yeah, if they're not sure what they want to study when they get to college, it might be best to take a year and do a community college and really take some time to study different majors that are out there. Talk to their parents, talk to people they know, other adults they know, maybe friends of their family, to find out, to learn more about different majors. One of the things I find is that so many students who change majors after they're paying for an expensive private school end up spending an extra year or two getting their bachelor's, and a lot of that can be avoided. The changing of majors can be avoided if they take more time to learn about their major before they go to college, going in there with a more informed understanding of what they're getting into and of how they're wired and what they're good at and what their talents and skills and interests are in will help them graduate college in a more timely manner. So doing that first year at a community college or taking a year off to maybe do an internship and learn about different disciplines is not a waste of time at all, because it ends up making you more effective when you go back to college. a lot of 18-year-olds who don't do well that first year probably would have been better served taking a year off and working and going to community college and maybe learning about four or five majors over the course of that year and then picking the one that made the most sense based on more informed research rather than just more of a naive understanding of what that major involved.
That's great advice, and I so appreciate that. We've only been able to scratch the surface, but so many other topics throughout this book, too. Raising teens who internalize their faith, helping them to pursue quality friendships, pursuing purity, teaching them financial responsibility. Just this is really a great how-to, a great manual, I think, too, that's here as a help to parents. So thank you so much for your time today, Alex. It's been great talking with you, and I know that this book is going to be a blessing to so many parents that are just trying to navigate, boy, just a lot of things, a lot of details as they're getting their teens ready now for college. So thank you for your time today.
Thanks for having me.